Well, what all went down last Thursday at that meeting that led to Elyria Schools moving forward and more favorably towards the original five-school plan? Of course, a couple weeks ago, we were hearing that they may actually bring that number down. But last Thursday, it sounded like they're going to try and find ways to make that five-school plan work.
Favorably, that was a really good word that Superintendent Tom Jama has been using over and over again. Things look favorably right now. So since they made this decision, announcement several weeks ago that they were facing this budgetary issue, a lot of number crunching has been going on, a lot of looking at the design to figure out where can they cut and scale back and kind of tweak the design a little bit to save some money so they can build as many schools as possible to try to keep with this plan that they've given residents to build five schools, because they've heard from residents that they want a school on the south side, they want five schools, and they want to stick with the plan that was approved back in November of 2016.
And I think originally, when this whole thing came up a few weeks back, the idea was, well, because of some of the increased costs in the construction process, we don't know if we can make it five schools. It might have to be three. And I think some of the residents have come out and said, look, that's not really an option. We were promised five schools. We've got to get five schools. Obviously, the cost issues with the construction process, those aren't going away. What are some of the measures that the school system is going to take in order to make sure that they can still build all five schools and still find ways to deal with some of those construction costs?
Well, Superintendent Tom Jama has said it's going to be about 4 to 6 weeks before anything is made public, so it's going to be a lot of wait and see if we can figure out what's going to happen. They've already talked about downsizing the school and taking away some of the elements that were going to make the school really, really, the school's really, really nice. They were supposed to have these garage door style windows that were going to be able to pull up to open up to larger spaces and movable walls for more collaborative spaces between students and teachers. And, they still want to do a lot of that because that is a part of the 21st century learning model that they really want to go towards in these new buildings. But, they're going to have to scale this down so they can build these buildings. That's the perfect thing about when community members see an issue and they start to get involved, because you can turn an issue with your involvement. When I'm attending these public meetings and attending these school board, city council, whatever the case may be, things don't happen without, some kind of input. And when the input is strong in one direction, one way or the other, you can see a change happen. And so this is what's happened. The school officials are listening to the residents, and the residents have told them what they want and what they don't want. And so now they have to see if they can, fulfill these promises.
Sure. You mentioned some of the sacrifices that could take place there in order to make the five schools that they're looking for. Is that something that that Dr. Jama kind of put forth, saying they're working with the construction crews to get this figured out, to see where this money can kind of come back from?
Yes, they're all at the table and they're looking at all of the design. So, we could see something that's completely, different design. They want to, strongly stay within a 21st century learning model for these schools. Mm-hmm. And so they will not scale them back too much. But, they want to see if they can cut some corners, maybe, save some space here and there, downsize the buildings, see if they can save as much money as possible.
Have they released? I didn't realize. Did they release the blueprints of some of the other schools? Because I know they've got the two that are already kind of underway and going right now.
They put some designs out for Ely and Northwood a few months back.
All right.
And I know reducing some of the plan review fees, I think, was another part of the process also to try and help keep some of the costs down. If you could explain that process, how reducing plan review fees could help this thing out.
Okay, with any building project, you have to submit these plans to the City of Elyria so they can look them over to make sure they're meeting all the building codes and building standards. In the City of Elyria, your fees are based on the value of your project. So the more value it is to your project, the more in fees you will have to pay the city. For this project, because we're talking $127 million with schools, up to $140 when you add the stadium. So the value of the fees is, close to $500,000. And so they're thinking they can cut the fees by 50%. Which will save the district $250,000. City Council has asked the mayor if she can cut the fees even more. She's looking at that now. We discussed it very, very briefly last night at a meeting. And she says, we can come up with a scenario of how we can cut the fees, but they also have to keep in mind that they can't cut the fees so much that it impacts how the building department is run, because the building department is very fee dependent. And right now the building department already runs about $250,000 in a red every year. So they don't know how much of the cost can they really eat.
Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram is our guest here on our Local Beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Want to bring something else up that we've discussed, I know, in the last few weeks. Primary Purpose Center apparently has received an approval for conditional use, And I know there are also some stipulations attached to that as well. If I'm not mistaken, there were three specific stipulations. What were they?
Well, I've learned more about sober living homes and recovery houses in the last few weeks than I ever thought I would need to know, which is, you know, great because I'm really kind of diving deep into, you know, how these homes and these programs work in the continuum of care for addicts in recovery. So in this particular home, the city has approved their conditional use permit, but they've told them they want to see a clean financial audit. They want to see it, have them get approval for a variance from the Board of Zoning Appeals about the location because it's near a preschool and it's near a women's shelter as well. And they also want to see their proof that they're not under investigation by the state or for any misuse of funds or anything that may come up. These are from allegations that the Lakota Way have made against Primary Purpose Center in a letter that they sent out to the state. And so the city wants them to make sure that before they allow them to move into this building that they're not under any kind of state investigation.
What kind of a timeline do they have to work with in order to provide that information to the city?
A public hearing is set for later in May, and so they have encouraged them to get this documentation to the city before this public hearing is held so that city council can hear from residents and hear from people who are pros and cons of this issue, and then also have this documentation before they make their decision.
All right, well, and we'll finish on something I think that's pretty positive for the city, something that you wrote about yesterday. Nelson Stud Welding is staying in Elyria. Council approved the incentives to keep them. What kinds of incentives is Nelson Stud Welding getting in order to stay here?
Well, they will stay here for at least the next 4 years with this agreement, and they're going to add 25 new jobs. They're going to expand their West Ridge Road facility by about 30,000 square feet. And in exchange, the city's going to build them a new sanitary sewer and pump station that's going to allow the company to connect to the city services. They're going to reimburse them for some improvements to their facility for stormwater system, and they're going to, you know, provide them stormwater credits. They're going to provide them with a 15-year, 75% enterprise zone tax incentive. That's on your property taxes. And then they're going to give them a 15-year city income tax rebate. So in total, that's about $3 million worth of incentives when you kind of add everything up that will save this company.
It's a lot of incentives. You know, why do they deem it so important to keep them around?
Well, they've been around Elyria for about 80 years. They manufacture welding equipment that and specialized fasteners that are used on like Navy vessels and aircraft carriers and submarines and destroyers. They're one of these companies that kind of just lay low and do their thing, and they've been doing it well for decades, and they have about 132 employees, and so the city wants to keep them here.
And you said they were planning on expanding about 25 more employees if they stick around? Cool.
And I know towards the end of the article also you mentioned something about Ridge Tool asking for a few things in order to stick around as well. What are some of those stipulations?
Well, Ridge Tool just wants the city to vacate Prospect Street. They're okay. They're doing well. They have a project they want to do to expand their shipping and receiving docks, and they kind of want to change the way trucks come in and out of their plant, and so they just need the city to get out of Prospect Street for them so they can move ahead with their program.
Does that sound like a reasonable request? Does the city seem like
the
that?
The city said they're okay with it. They, you know, it's about $1 million or so dollars that they're going to be put into their building. And so all they have to, you know, Ridge Tool already owns most of the land around the area where they want the city to vacate. And so they just need, they want to be able to expand the shipping and receiving docks. And so they just need the city to move out the way.
Very cool stuff. Well, anything you have in the hopper working on this week? I feel like the last couple of weeks we asked you that, and the answer was kind of the same, but it seems like everything seems to move back 1 week because new news comes to the forefront, and that kind of keeps pushing the food safety thing back.
It happens that way. It is actually very frustrating because I really want to get back to that project, but you know I can't get back to that project right now because I still have to figure out what's going to happen with the recovery houses and things like that, and so it takes a while for you to get projects going and keeping them going. And I hate the fact that the momentum seems to be dying down because I'm really interested in this project. But, you know, things happen.
Sure.
Yeah, they do, but that's okay. And the news world, right, when things happen, that's a good thing.
That is a very good thing.
Because if there was no news to report, we wouldn't have anything to talk about on Tuesdays. Lisa, pleasure as always to have you here in studio. We'll do it again next week. And, boy, if anybody out there is listening, we're taking donations for a new TV. Because apparently one broke in the Roberson household last week.
That is true. My son broke a television.
Oops.
And I should have been a better mother and completely intervened for him playing with a ball in my home. And I did not. And a TV was a casualty. And now we're minus one television. However, the television was a television that was in his bedroom. So no donations are needed because he just no longer gets a television.
Oh, poor guy.
Seems fair. It was his TV. It's a rough case. I feel like if that were to happen in my house, it'd probably be me who threw the ball into a television. Typically, that's how that's working. Yeah.
And I surprised all of my coworkers because I came to work on Monday and they said, "Where's his body buried? What'd you do?" And I was like, "I didn't even yell at him. I just said, now you don't have a TV and I took its ball away."
Yeah.
So
that's all the punishment that was necessary there. Lisa, as always, a pleasure to have you here. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
That's Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Visit Jim and Bob Vandermark in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry.